بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبالسند المتصل إلى الشيخ الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن المغيرة البردسبة الجعفي البخاري رحمهم الله ونفعنا بعلومه آمين أنه قال باب بيع الخلط من التمر وبه قال حدثنا أبو نعيم قال حدثنا شيبان أن يحيى أن أبي سلمة أن أبي سعيد رضي الله تعالى عنه وأنهم أجمعين قال كنا نرزق تمر الجمع وهو الخلط من التمر وكنا نبيع ساعين بساع فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ساعين بساع ولا درهمين بدرهم. Most respected elders and friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In our previous discussion, we discussed the technical definition of riba. We explained that there are two causes of riba and two consequences of riba. As a principle, if both the causes are found, both consequences would apply. If both causes are absent, then the both consequences would not apply. If one of the causes are found, then one of the consequences would apply. The hadith that we are about to do is a practical example of a situation where two causes of interest are found and both consequences of interest would apply. The consequence of interest would be that in such a situation, you got to maintain equality. One side more, one side less would be prohibited. Excess on either side would be prohibited and it has to be a cash deal. It cannot be a credit deal. The hadith, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi presents the subject matter, Babu bay'il khilt min at-tamar. The selling of mixed dates. The hadith is narrated from Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that we used to be given collective dates. And this is being defined as وَهُوَ الْخِلْتُ مِنَ التَّمَرِ. When they used to go out in jihad from the booty, they used to be given mixed dates, different type of dates. So Abu Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala says that we used to sell 2 sa' of dates in exchange of 1 sa' of dates. Sa' is a measure. 1 sa' is equivalent to 3.2 kilograms and so 2 sa's will be 6.4 kilograms. So he says that we used to take 6.4 kilograms of dates of an inferior quality, sell it for dates of 3.2 kilograms of superior quality. Now when we look at it, there's dates on both sides. So, one of the two causes, two items of the same type. And secondly, dates are such that they are sold by weight. So both the causes of interest are found. So therefore, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam corrected them and told to them that do not sell two sa' in exchange of one sa'. Where one person gives one sa' of dates and another person gives two sa' of dates, that one extra sa' that will constitute riba, that will constitute interest. But then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam corrected them and told, La sa'ain bisa, that do not sell two sa' of dates, that is 6.4 kilograms of dates, in exchange of 3.2 kilograms of dates. Doing so, that surplus on one side would be riba, it would be interest. And also, La dirhamain bi dirhamin. Dirham is a silver coin. Now, on both sides there is silver, so the two causes, one of the two causes is found, and dirhamain, it is also sold by weight. So therefore, both the causes are found, and one side more, one side less, and credit would also be prohibited. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, and do not sell two dirhams in exchange of one dirham. Now it is very easy to tell somebody that something is haram. The challenge is to show the alternative to haram. Our ulama have explained, one is i'lam, to inform the people. That is not the maqsood and that's not the end result. We should go one step further and make a'mal. Make the people practice on deen and shariat. So if there is something that is prohibited, show the people what the alternative is. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala gives us an incident in Surah Yusuf. The king of the time, he had seen a dream that there is going to be drought, which was interpreted by Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam that there is going to be drought. Now Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam didn't only create fear in the king and tell that there is drought, he also showed them the alternative how to overcome the drought. Likewise, in this particular instance, although it is haram to do the transaction in this way, but what the alternative would be. And this is the attitude and the approach of the fuqaha. In the Kitab of Fiqh, we get a chapter which is called Kitab al-Hiyal, the chapter of stratagems. If somebody very sincerely, honestly, wish to practice on Shariat, but he is in a predicament, he's not just looking for some scapegoat. He really wants to practice on deen and shariat, but he is in a predicament. So the fuqaha have created engineered mechanisms to overcome the difficulty so that the person could easily practice on deen and sharia. In this particular situation, the strategy and the alternative would be do two different transactions. If a person got two sa' of dates, then sell it separately. Get the money, get the proceeds of that sale, and now separately with the proceeds of the sale of the two sa's, buy one sa' of date. So two different transactions, both of them will be perfectly correct and permissible, and it will not constitute riba, it will not constitute interest. We proceed with the next chapter. Babu mukili riba liqawli Allah ta'ala, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah wa dharu ma baqiya min ar-riba ila ma kasabat wa hum la yuzlamun. Qala Ibn Abbas, hadhi akhiru ayatin nazalat 'ala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We discussed previously that to take interest, borrow people money and to take interest, that is haram. In this tarjumatul bab, in this subject matter, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah explains that just as taking interest is haram, to pay interest is equally haram. And he proves it from the ayat of the Quran al-Kareem in which Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says that, O you who believe, fear Allah and leave whatever remains of riba. This was at a time when people used to transact in interest-bearing transactions, and when Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala prohibited interest-bearing transactions, at that time and point, what was left by someone, you do not take it anymore. So you don't take, you do not even give. Both of it is prohibited. And then Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi quotes Abdullah ibn Abbas and says, this ayat, as we have discussed last week, is one of the last ayats that were revealed upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith, وَبِهِ قَالَ حَدَّثْنَا أَبُو الْوَلِيدِ قَالَ حَدَّثْنَا شُعْبَةً عَوْنِ بْنَ أَبِي جُحَيْفَةَ قَالَ رَأَيْتُ أَبِي اشْتَرَى عَبْدًا حَجَّامًا فَأَمَرَ بِمَحَاجِمِهِ فَكُسِرَتْ فَسَأَلْتُهُ فَقَالَ نَهَى النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْ ثَمَنِ الْكَلْبِ وَثَمَنِ الدَّمِ وَنَهَى عَنِ الْوَاشِمَةِ وَالْمَوْشُومَةِ وَآكِلِ الرِّبَا وَمُوكِلِهِ وَلَعَنَ الْمُصَوِّرِ. Aun ibn Abi Juhayfa, Aun is a tabi'i. He's anything from his father, Abu Juhayfa, who is a sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Aun says that I saw my father. He had a slave that used to practice cupping, taking out the dirty blood from the body. Now in the past, people would have slaves with certain skills, make them do work and earn their income through that. So Aun says that one day his father told him that amara bi mahajimihi, the instruments of cupping, bring it, collect it, for kusirat. It was broken. That means that he's not going to do cupping anymore. Or he's not going to tell his slave to do cupping anymore. So the son asked the father, fasaltuhu, that why did you do this? This is your means of income. You're earning money through this. Why did you break the instruments of cupping? So, the Sahabi, Abu Juhayfa, he says, quotes the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nahan Nabiyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited, and five things have been mentioned. First, an thamanil kalb. From the proceeds of the sale of a dog. In the time of Jahiliyyah, people were obsessed with dogs. They used to eat with the dogs, sleep with the dogs, drink with the dogs, move around with the dogs. I would see in the common practice also among the non-Muslim communities around us. So that was an obsession. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to remove that obsession from the hearts of the Sahaba. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam then prohibited any kind of association with the dogs. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam observed that that obsession is no more, than Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned mali walil kilab, I got no problem with dogs. And in fact, dogs, Almighty Allah tabarak speaks about hunting dog in the Quran Kareem. Dogs for sniffing purposes is permissible. Guide dogs also permissible. Dogs and dogs of different types as for game purposes, that is also permissible. So here, we have the prohibition is about pet dogs, which was the practice in the time of Jahiliyyah. To breed such kind of dogs and to sell those kind of dogs, that is prohibited. But dogs that Sharia permit for permissible use, hunting dogs, sniffing dogs, for drug purposes, etc., to breed such kind of dogs, and the sale and the dealing in such kind of dog is permissible. The proceed of that is also permissible. وَثَمَنِ الدَّمْ And the proceed of blood. This refers to the practice of cupping. Now, the practice of cupping, although it is permissible, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had encouraged it. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself practiced cupping. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the Sahabi Abu Tayyiba also money fees for doing the cupping as well. But here, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prohibited it. This is something undesirable. Ulama have mentioned that is because that it is such a profession where all the time you are dealing with blood. And as a human being, all the time you're seeing blood, blood, blood. It had a negative effect on you, especially if you're a person of a weak heart and a weak mind. وَنَهَا عَنِ الْوَاشِمَةِ وَالْمَوْشُومَةِ And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also prohibited from that person who does tattooing. He's got the profession of doing tattooing, wal maushuma, and that person upon whom tattooing is done, and he seeks that tattooing upon him. This is because it leads to taghyir li khalqillah, changing the creation of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And by this analogy, anything that leads to the creation of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala without a genuine need in deen and sharia is prohibited. Like what is the norm today, that people change their gender, male to female, female to male. And this is taghyir li khalqillah, that is completely haram and that is prohibited. And the purpose Imam Bukhari presented this riwayat here is, وَآكِلِ رِبَا وَمُوكِلِهِ. And the person who consumes interest and the person that gives interest is also prohibited. وَلَعَنَ الْمُصَوِّرِ. And Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cursed that person who makes pictures. Making pictures nowadays in this era of technology has becoming very, very challenging. And there's a lot of debate among the ulama on pictures, whether a capturing of electronic images constitutes tasweer, picture making or not. Irrespective of what the views may be, there is no doubt taqwa and ihtiyat would be to stay away from pictures, even though it may be termed as capturing of electronic images. Apart from that, all the ulama are unanimous that even though you capture pictures on electronic images, and it may be picture, may not be picture according to some ulama, but all of them are unanimous that if such a picture that is captured through any electronical device, it is durable. For example, it could be printed out or potentially durable, then that also constitutes tasweer and therefore it is also prohibited. And most definitely we see the wisdom of Shariat in this, especially when pictures are being spread, shared, and how people sometimes are blackmailed with pictures, we understand the wisdom of Shariat in this. The next riwayat, Babun يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَا وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ أَثِيمٍ. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says that riba has been deleted and Allah has increased sadaqat. It is sign of iman that when Allah and the Rasul tells us something that is outward and apparently against our logic, against our thinking. So we go against our logic, we defy our logic and we submit to what Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying. Simply because Allah is al-Hakim, Allah is all-wise, and we believe that whatever Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, there's hikmat and wisdom in that, and we may understand it, we may comprehend it, we may not even comprehend it, but we simply bring iman on that. In the case of interest, Allah is saying that He deletes interest. Somebody doesn't have money, you go to a bank, the bank approves of it, and suddenly you've got in your account 100,000 rand or 1 million rand. From nothing or something, but Allah is saying it's deleted. How does that apply to our logic? Or for example, sadaqah, you've got 1,000 rands and you had given 100 rand away in sadaqah, it's now 900. It has decreased, but Allah is saying it increased. How do we apply, how do we understand this? It probably may be through an example. Say, if I want to go and give some money to somebody in a war-torn area, for example in Syria. Now there's two ways of doing it. One way is that I would go all by myself. I don't know anything in Syria. It's a war-torn area, and if I go all by myself before I could even enter, then I would be attacked and all the money would be taken away from me. And another way of doing it is that before leaving I would hire somebody's help and assistance. I would tell that person I will give you 5% or I'll give you 2.5%. And you must guide me to the place where I could distribute these monies. So that person, he guides me along, he takes me to a back route, he takes me away from all the dangerous points, and we reach our destination safely with all that money. Now there's a difference between them two. In the first instance, that 100,000 rand is gone. You had the money, but it is gone. It was not in anyone's protection. And here, you just gave 2.5% to that person, but the remaining amount was saved. When we give sadaqah and charity, our wealth goes in the hifazat and in the protection of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. We may not understand it apparently, but if Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala makes hifazat and protect our wealth, Wallahu la yuhibbu kulla kaffarin athim. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala does not like every person that is ungrateful and a sinful person. The hadith, وبه قال حدثنا يحيى بن بكير قال حدثنا ليث عن يونس عن ابن شهاب قال ابن المسيب إن أبا هريرة قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الحلف منفقة للسلعة ممحقة للبركة. أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه says that I heard Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, in business, sometimes when you got stock that is standing and you want to get rid of the stock, you want to sell it. Now, you start, the way you advertise it and the way you try to convince the consumer, you start taking oaths to the person and you convince the person to buy that item. You take false oath. You give such descriptions of the item. You sell that item. So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Al-Hilf, to take an oath, false oath, just to deceive the person. You may sell, to promote that item, that will lead to, although your item will get sold, and you'll get the money from it, mamhaqatun lil baraka. It will delete, it will remove the baraka from the business. Imam Bukhari mentioned this in the context of riba, in the context of interest, just as interest, baraka goes away from that. Likewise, cheating and deceiving people also deprive a person from baraka. And there's one more hadith where Imam Bukhari rahmatullah quotes, and Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa, inna rajulan aqama sal'a wa huwa fi suq. Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa radiallahu ta'ala says, one person, he happened to promote his commodity in the business, in a marketplace. فَحَلَفَ بِاللَّهِ لَقَدْ أُعْطِيَ بِهَا مَا لَمْ يُعْطَ. Now he tells the people, just to get the people to buy, to deceive the person, to trap the person. He says, what are you talking? I was offered so much for this thing here. People had offered me so much of money for this. He tried to create an impression there was a big demand for his item. Meanwhile, it is standing stock. Nobody wants to buy it. And the way he presented the person gets caught into it, and then he buys the item. So Nabi Kareem has mentioned, the person who takes qasam in the name of Allah. Now he took the name of Allah, abusing the name of Allah in business. He said, I was offered in exchange of that which he was not offered. لِيُوقِعَ فِيهَا رَجُلًا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, so that he may trap a Muslim person in it, in buying the item and deceiving the person. So, it was regarding this and similar instances that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala revealed this ayat, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَشْتَرُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ وَأَيْمَانِهِمْ ثَبَلًا قَلِيلًا أُولَٰئِكَ لَا خَلَاقَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Those people who would take oaths and they would purchase a small amount, miserable price, then and take an oath, false oath in the name of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, there won't be any share for them in the Akhirat. Allah will not talk with them on the day of Qiyamah with Rahmat. Allah will not look at them with Rahmat on the day of Qiyamah, and for them there will be a painful punishment. In these ayat and these ahadiths, we understand that if we want barakah in our business, we need to be truthful, we need to be honest, we need to do things completely according to Sharia. We make dua, Almighty Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayat to practice upon the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Before concluding the hadith that we did before, Abu Juhayfa, one very outstanding quality of this sahabi and generally all the sahaba, is this sahabi, he used to do cupping, but he brought the instrument of cupping and he broke it. Because he heard the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he practiced on the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So outstanding quality in the Sahaba is that whenever they heard the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they would immediately practice upon it. How often we hear ayat upon ayat of the Quran Kareem, ahadith upon ahadith of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but it has no impact upon our lives. Allah grant, forgive us, grant us tawfiq in hidayat practice on the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.